coming in hot off the rip, Paradise Pod. Don, what's going on?
Not much, man.
We're here. We're gathered here this evening to recap a two-game series between you and myself on FIFA 20 in Nintendo Switch. Big win for me with Tottenham against Chelsea, 4-1 win, although you come back with a nice 1-0 win in the second match.
True, yeah.
What are your thoughts on our two games?
Well, I thought the first game was closer than the score would suggest.
The 4-1 scoreline?
Yeah, 4-1 scoreline.
Just to get that in again.
I thought at least three of the goals were bullshit from you.
Of course.
The Switch is weird. Like, the passing, it just doesn't go...
FIFA's like, pretty fun on Switch, I thought.
It is, yeah.
It feels more arcadey, for yeah. sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, there'd be times I'd, like, pass... to go like north and the ball would just go south and I'm like, I don't know what this game is.
This episode of Paradise Pod brought to you by FIFA 20 on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
I
just bought it like 2 weeks before the new one comes out. So
yeah. Well, now that we got that out of the way, the important things, to recap, two draws this week from Nashville SC, midweek draw against Orlando SC, and we're coming to you from Sunday night. We just watched a 0-0 draw at Inter Miami or Inter Fort Lauderdale, depending on who you ask. Starting off with the midweek game against Orlando, like I said, it was a 1-1 draw. I have it down as being a game of two halves, though in the 17th minute, Benji Michel from Orlando, he wins a battle against Godoy in midfield and just hits an absolute rocket. Nothing really you can do against that type of shot.
I feel like I don't know what it is about us playing Orlando, but I forget the games that we play.
Yeah, well, midweek is tough to remember now that we're recapping two games. But yeah. Straight away in the second half, we saw goal I'm sure you will remember. Lovely move starting with Leao wide right. He works his way into the box, plays a 1-2 with Mukhtar, who hits a really nicely weighted first-time return pass to Leao. He has a really nice finish. The two DPs link up for the first time for a goal.
Yeah, I thought that's... I think... So both players, while they're not getting on the score sheet, I think they both show flashes like that. But that was like kind of what we are hoping to expect to see a little bit more. They're both very creative players. It just seems like one would be creative at one point and not the other creative, and it just doesn't mesh or... they'll be creative and it's not Mukhtar or Leao, it'll be to like Mule or something. It just, I think it'll just, that will come from playing with each other more, but I think that shows what they're capable of, which was a really nice goal.
Yeah. I think with the team being new, there's some breakthrough moments that kind of feel like a monkey coming off the back, and the two DPs that have come in for a little bit of criticism, for not really providing a ton of offense, link up for a really nice goal. Feels like sort of a weight off of everyone's back.
Yeah, I think, and Leao, I think, has been playing better than Mukhtar has recently.
I agree.
Today, I did notice, like, the first half, maybe, like, the first 20 minutes, and I don't know if it was just getting confidence from that assist to Leao, but he was taking more shots. It seemed like he was more aggressive, which was nice to see.
Mukhtar, yeah.
This game. Mm-hmm. Which we can get into later. But, yeah, I think we're seeing him be a little bit more aggressive and more assertive, which is nice because it seemed like before he'd get the ball and he'd kind of do some stuff but just didn't really feel confident. And I think that confidence is coming hopefully now.
Yeah, that was only the team's second goal from the run of play, not from a set piece.
I mean, kind of, I have five, so.
Right, not obviously a ton to choose from yet. But, yeah, I mean – the best version of this team, I keep saying it is going to have those two linking up like that.
Yeah.
And Leao putting away some goals because they don't seem like they're going to come from striker positions.
And I think we talked about it before the season started with how they were building the team, that the goals were going to come from set pieces. And
they probably, would need to.
Yeah.
Thus far, they haven't really come from anywhere.
Yeah, they haven't been coming from anywhere. But when they do, it's usually set pieces. But yeah, it was going to be counters and set pieces. We weren't going to really be a good possession team. And I think that's showing.
David Akam came off the bench, and I thought he looked dangerous.
Yeah.
Came on direct, got some shots on target off, at least one that I can think of.
Yeah, he had a really good shot on target, like immediately coming off the bench against Orlando. Yeah, he looked really good, which we can get into more later with him as well.
Yeah, I think that's sort of it from the Orlando game. Nice to get a goal from the run of play. 1-1 draw, more than I thought we'd get out of that game. I think Orlando's a pretty good team. I think they're better than Nashville still. So
yeah, Orlando's, I would say, probably one of the best teams in the league right now.
Certainly one of the form teams right now coming out of the tournament where they played well.
But yeah, no, it was good to get a draw out of that. It was a home game, but I mean, I don't really know if those really count as home games anymore.
Do we want to do our 3 stars from each match, or do we want to do our 3 stars of the week?
Let's do the week.
Okay, fair enough. Well then, yeah, any final thoughts just to close off talking about the 1-1 draw against Orlando midweek?
No, I thought, if I remember, I think the second half was a lot better than the first. I thought we got a lot of confidence out of that, which is hopefully we'll see in future games, not this next game that we just played.
So, yeah, the game we just played against Miami tonight on Sunday the 6th, we saw Gary Smith's first unchanged 11 in MLS. So what I thought going into the midweek game was our strongest lineup we saw repeated again. So I think that Gary probably sees that 11 as his strongest that he can play right now. And just to recap, that's the back four in the midfield that we're familiar with, and then a front four of Alex Will now, who I think is a starter.
Yeah, he played on the left, though. Did he play on the left against Orlando?
He moves around, but tonight he was definitely coming in from the left pretty consistently.
Yeah, I feel like he's done both the right and the left. I think Orlando was on the right.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
They were more fluid midweek, and then he was more stuck to the left this game, I thought.
Which was interesting to see Liao play on the right now that he's played. I still think he's probably best on the left.
Or maybe central.
I still think Mukhtar's better.
But
central.
Then you've got Mukhtar that probably needs to be there more.
Yeah.
Because Mukhtar isn't really doing as much from wide, and Leal cut in from the right on the goal we scored midweek.
Yeah, I think if we're at our best, it's Mukhtar playing central and then Leal.
Right or left.
I think he played, if we're going off this one game that he played on the right, I think he plays better on the left.
Yeah, so that front four that now I think is considered to be our strongest front four, maybe. Going into tonight, I think we'll see some changes maybe on the next game that we have against Orlando on Saturday. But it's been Alex Mwil, Hani Mukhtar, Dominic Baggi up top, and then Randall Ayal off the right. I think Gary sees that as his strongest 11. Maybe we'll see some changes again on Saturday, but I just thought it was noteworthy that it was our first unchanged 11 under Gary in MLS. We saw new Inter Miami signing Blyce Matuidi coming straight into the first 11, which is always exciting to see a big name new sign. Apparently they've got him not on a DP contract. He moved on a free transfer from Juventus. I mean, really great pickup for Miami. We'll probably continue to see them get some big names like that just from maybe David Beckham's relationships with European clubs.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, they're willing to spend, and they're going to be able to attract a lot of people. So that's nice that you can get a guy of that caliber and not use up a DP spot. We'll see what they do, but I think they're going to be really good depending on who they get. I think with the signing of Nigoin, I think he's fine in Europe, but I feel like he's going to be really good in MLS.
Who?
Higuain.
Yeah.
I can say his name before the podcast.
Gonzalo Higuain.
Yeah. But now that we're recording, I can say
Yeah, so
his
that's
name.
Confirmed now. Higuain is coming to Miami for sure. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I could see him banging.
Yeah,
a lot
he
of
just
goals.
Seems like someone that, like, I mean, he's, again, we talked about it. He's like 2 years away from being the striker for Chelsea.
If Chris Wondolowski bangs in the goals in this league, I think Gonzalo Higuain will probably do the same.
Yeah. Like, I could see him potentially being like a top three striker in MLS. And then they still have, I think Pizarro's on a DP spot, so they still have another one.
Is he not?
He might. I think he is.
I would think he is.
Yeah. So they might have another DP spot, and I feel like David Beckham's just the type that he's going to, like, fill up every DP.
Yeah. That seems like their game plan, their mindset. Like they're gonna, they want to fill the DP spots with like what we think of as like DP big name sort of talent. What are you giggling at?
Nothing.
Okay. I thought the game tonight was really physical. It was a rainy night in Miami. The obligatory weather delay for a Nashville SC game. Now we're never gonna start on time. I think we're all just coming to accept that and sort of embrace it.
Yeah, this is like of. Probably what, like half our games have been delayed?
Yeah, I think so.
And include not including the USL games. Like, I mean, it's also, is it? No, 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 that's spring. I would say it's like rain weather, but I guess it's Florida, so you kind of expect it.
Yeah. I want to talk about Alex Mwill a little bit. I didn't know exactly what to expect from him, but he's slotted straight into what I think Gary views as our strongest starting 11 now. I think that he is playing well. He's definitely physical, wants to press, wants to track back, but he's also, you know, trying to contribute offensively as well. He had the disallowed goal that we discussed was previously. Was that the midweek game or was that last week?
That was, I think, last
week.
Might
have been last week against Miami on Sunday.
Yeah, that was against Miami on Sunday.
But, you know, he's throwing his body around. He's another kind of big physical guy, but he gives us... It's funny, he sort of feels now like we always needed that piece, but coming in, it didn't really feel like he was, like, super necessary. So, I don't know. It's just been interesting to see him slot in, starting, playing well, and now I think it's sort of his spot on either the left wing or the right wing to lose.
Yeah, I do feel like just from like a pure like offensive ability that Akam is better, and it might just be my bias because I'm starting to get annoyed with Akam not playing that I'm trying to take it out on someone. But I think he's a very gritty player, which is an adjective you always give white players.
Sure.
For some reason, just gritty, hardworking. Very intelligent.
Bringing his lunch pail, you know. That's guys.
But he reminds me of like a...
Are we a team full of lunch pail players right now?
I think right now we
are. We sort of are. Dax McCarty.
At least our back line is. And then...
So many lunch pails,
our
dude.
Our left wing and then Dax.
Yeah.
And Joe.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess you take that if you're a first-year team and you're trying to build something, a base to build on.
Yeah. I do think we are. We are grinding out. Like, I mean, we haven't scored more than one goal. We've only allowed more than one goal, what, three times?
Yeah. No. We allowed three against
Orlando,
and that's the most.
Yeah. But then we allowed two against Atlanta.
Atlanta in the first game.
Portland also scored two? No, that was 1-0.
Portland was 1-0 loss.
Okay. I think which kind of sucks for us because we tend to, like, clench our butts the last 15 minutes because Gary seems perfectly okay with just sitting back.
I think we're going to have a lot of tightly clenched butts.
Yeah. But back to Mule. I think he reminds me of like an MLS level Alan Wynn. A little bit.
Where is Alan Wynn?
Yeah. Which Where's our we old kind friend? Of brought that up. And we can discuss the subs later.
Yeah.
But
we could go ahead and get into it because you were missing David Akam. David Akam now doesn't make the 18.
Yeah, and I'm hoping
eligible
this is
to
a,
even come off the bench in this game. I mean, what is going on?
No, and I hopefully someone will ask Ben, or hopefully Ben or someone will ask Gary.
It's
in
a
the press
fair
conference.
Question at this point, right? I know you don't want to. It's tough if you're going to ask the manager something. You don't want to be like, fans are starting to wonder. But like, I'm sure it's a question maybe reporters don't want to ask because they don't want to get on the coach's bad side because you want to be able to have a good rapport with them and like these post-match interviews, these pre-game interviews.
Well, I was going to ask you, what are
but
like...
But it's a fucking fair question.
Yeah, what are the three things you think David did to Gary that...
Right off the bat, like, I don't know if he has a daughter.
Three
if
most
he does,
likely...
Akam, probably...
Banged his daughter?
Perhaps.
Made love?
For sure.
Okay. So tenderly. Possibility number one is made love, tender love to Gary Smith's daughter.
Yeah.
If she has one.
Second thing he did, I don't know. I can't think of anything clever.
Fair enough. No, I don't know. And I'm hoping this one's injury because it's one thing to like not sub on. And some of the games that he hasn't subbed on, it's because we were winning.
We're trying to lock down a point or win.
And, I mean, Gary's not one to, like, be up 1-0 and try to score another goal. Like, he seems like he wants to play defense. So it makes sense in some of them, but, like, to not even make the starting or not even make the bench.
Yeah, it's weird.
If it's not injury, then, yeah, it's something they got to ask. Because, and then we can get to the subs, like, there's zero reasoning that you would find value from Taylor Washington over David Akam.
So USL stud with what I always described as youth group good looks. Yeah. Taylor Washington continues to sub on. I sort of understand.
I don't.
Gary's thinking a little bit.
Nope.
He's definitely using a lot of the squad. Some strange instances like Akam where he doesn't seem to want to use the squad, but I think Washington played for him in USL, so he trusts him to come on as a sub and do a job to secure whatever result we're going for, a win or a draw at the time. Yeah.
Like, at some point, like, Taylor seems like a really, really nice guy.
Yeah, it's just...
So, if you're listening, I feel bad, but, like, he's not an MLS player.
Maybe not. I don't know. He hasn't created much in his
every
sub
game
appearances.
Not like he's making mistakes.
The
like
reason
he's ruining
that
chances that we're
well,
getting.
Well, okay. So I can see a little bit of where he thinks he might be useful because one, he trusts him. He played for him in USL. He thinks he can come on and help to see out the game and follow whatever instructions Gary's given him coming off the bench. Also, when I started to think in USL that Taylor Washington might be a guy that gets called up to the MLS squad, which he eventually did, obviously. Was he has a really nice cross on him, really nice delivery from his left foot. We've seen it. We know he can do it because he's done it in USL. But we haven't seen him really do that in his sub appearances yet in MLS. But, I mean, he has the ability to do that. And I think you saw, like, if we had a little bit of a stronger crosser of the ball in a lot of instances, we could have created some stronger chances.
None of his crosses have been good.
Yeah, not yet.
Like, none of his crosses have been good. And if you're going to play, like, if you are insisting on playing a USL winger, fucking put in Alan Wynn. Like, he's played one game in Atlanta and was really good that game.
Yeah, also, Alan Wynn would definitely, he makes sense. Like, we could use a guy like him right now. If you can't play a Akam for whatever reason, because he's tenderly having relations with your daughter, understandable. But then a guy like that, like a winger that can maybe make something happen as a sub off the bench, the game tends to be crying out for that type of guy. And yeah, no Alan Wynn. It's just curious where he is.
Yeah, I don't think he's making the bench either. And again, he played the one game and he was really good and hasn't seen it since. And again, might be an injury thing. I don't know. But I'm questioning Gary Smith's tactics. I mean, he had 4 subs and 3 of them were USL players today.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and I was listening to, I think it was Speedway, and they were talking about Gary saying, I mean, they're basically playing like 2 games a week and it's hard.
It's tough.
That like you kind of are going to have to use players that you normally wouldn't use. So I'll be interested to see what the lineup's going to be this Saturday when they pretty much have a full week of practice. Because right now they're playing Wednesday. They'll probably I'm assuming they get like a day off and then they have like 1 day of training to get ready for the next game.
Yeah, so I'm very curious as well to see because the games have been coming. Yeah, the games have been coming fast every 3 days-ish. So finally the team's going to get a full sort of week to rest, to prepare for our next game, which is against Atlanta on Saturday. Is that home or away? Not that it really matters too much right now with fans not being in the stadium, but
I believe it's away. It could be wrong. No, it's home because they played the last one in Atlanta.
Okay. Yeah.
Shitty ass turf.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, I don't know, we can get more into the Atlanta preview after we sort of close out the 2 games from this week.
Yeah, didn't really talk about Miami.
Yeah.
We talked about the subs.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't like, we'll see what they do. Hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully we get some answers on David. Someone needs to ask.
Yeah, I agree.
At this point, because it's...
Yeah, it's glaring absence. I thought that Miami started off really strong tonight. They had at least 2, probably a couple more.
3 really,
really good clear-cut chances.
Yeah.
that they either squandered or that Joe Willis stopped, and he's been really good.
Three really good chances that didn't, the ball didn't hit the net or didn't go on goal.
Yeah.
So three really good chances without Joe even doing anything. And then he also made two really good saves in the first half.
When he's been called upon, he's not really let us down at all that I can remember.
No, I think it's kind of hard because the first like two games of the season,
we kept getting beat by like wonder goals.
That was the thing. And in midweek, yeah, that was we the did weird too. Thing
the
like,
Benji Michel goal was incredible.
Yeah. Like that was the thing was like the Atlanta game, I don't think he made one save, but the two goals that he allowed in were like ridiculous goals.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the Portland game, but I don't think he made a save.
Diego Valeri, one of the guys that's been an MLS All-Star, yeah, like consistently one of the best players in the league, scored a really nice goal.
Yeah.
So can't fault him for those. And outside of that, he's been... Yeah,
it's a weird dynamic where like we're not allowing a lot of shots. Typically, I think today might have been a little bit different, and the Orlando's games have been a little bit different. They've both been a little bit open. But we're not allowing shots, and then when we are, he's saving them unless they're like wonder goals, which for some reason we just get scored a lot of wonder goals on.
Yeah. I thought that where we threatened, at least in the first half, was off of set pieces. I thought it was interesting that we saw the team sort of running some designed set pieces, some plays. Some of them almost came off. Obviously, it was a 0-0 draw, so no goals yet, but I thought it was nice to see the team running some stuff off the training ground, like that you could tell was like a little bit of a coordinated set piece. I think it's good when teams run some plays off set pieces. It shows that they understand that that's an opportunity where you can prepare and take advantage of, you know, if we're not scoring a lot from the run of play, then you need to really be focused on set pieces. It didn't come off tonight, but at least we're putting in the effort.
Yeah, I think there was like maybe three design plays that they ran, and I mean, I'd rather see that. Like, that was cool.
It was good. It was good chances off of them. So.
Yeah, I think one got cleared off on the line, and the other one, that might have been the same goal. Was that the same one that Zimmerman, like, headed across back? Is that the one that got cleared off on
not
the line?
Sure.
No. But, no, they were all, I think we were dangerous on all of them. And hopefully we see more plays like that, because
I guess we're going to need set piece goals because
we continue
to, we didn't really create a lot of clear cut chances. I don't think today was a lot of like squandered opportunities until Dan Lovitz had we got an absolute gift that he just needed to put away, and he shot it wide of the goal. Obviously he's a left back. He's not the guy you'd want there to put that away, but you would almost want any pro to.
Yeah. I mean, that's Lovitz according to Ben's been top five
according
left
to me,
back.
More importantly.
According to you also. I think he's been really good. But one of the best left backs in the league so far this season. But then he reminded us that he's still Dan Lovitz and misses a clear chance.
Yeah. It was interesting to get the opinion of Stu Holden and Alexi Lawless, given that Nashville was back on the national scale tonight for this game. It was on FS1. Our last couple of games have been just more local broadcasts on MyTV30. I thought that it seemed like Alexi Lawless maybe hadn't watched Nashville SC yet.
I don't know if he watched this game.
He really, yeah.
Like when he'd come on, he'd just be like, say like two generic lines.
Credit to him. Like he is just kind of just getting a paycheck at this point, and he knows like the buttons to press to get like soccer fans mad, but to like be good TV.
Well,
he's like the soccer color commentary equivalent of like midweek morning ESPN shows. Like he should be on like First Take. Like imagine like the Alexi Lawless, Stephen A. Smith soccer show. It would be incredible.
He just has like
it would suck, but you know, it'd be amazing.
He just has like pre-made sentences and just fills in team names and players.
Pieces. Yeah, like you get it. Your shtick. He has a shtick and he definitely plays into
it. And it was annoying because pregame, like we all know we can't score, which is fine. Like if you want to tell us we can't score, but they were like,
say something. You're paid to watch these games and provide some interesting analysis.
They were raving about how like Inter Miami like has been really promising offensively, but then Nashville has been really boring, and it's like we have one less goal than Miami.
Yeah.
Like they're not any more dangerous.
So it's just whatever narrative they thought would happen going into the season, which, that they're just carrying on despite clear evidence like to sort of the contrary. Like, yeah, it was a great point that you made going into the game when they were saying that type of shit before we kicked off. It was just like, they have one more goal than us.
And I think someone, one of the announcers, I can't remember who it was, brought it up that they were like, brought up that, that they were like trashing Nashville offensively when in reality they have one less goal than Miami.
I think that Rodolfo Pizarro, one, great name.
Really, yeah, we talked about that too. Very good soccer name.
He's also a good soccer player. And in the sort of 10 role, he is providing more of the link-up play in midfield and the creativity that you would want to see maybe from Hani Mukhtar. I think that he is kind of more... He's what we hope that Hani Mukhtar might become.
Yeah,
for
sure.
He's just a nice player. He's looked good whenever I've seen him. Also has a sort of a different hairstyle every single time we see him, which...
Yeah, it's nuts.
I think maybe it's time for Mukhtar to try something else with the hair. What do you think?
That's true, yeah. I don't know what he can do. Mukhtar with his hair.
Maybe some crazy colors dyed in there. I think he already sort of doing the blonde thing, but maybe it's time for like some bright pink or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Pizarro has a new hairstyle every time. It's nuts. But no, I really like him, but I think I agree. I think he's what we were hoping Mukhtar would be.
We're starting to get some more interesting hair on this team, crucially. Walker Zimmerman clearly growing out the flow, taking a page from my book. He's not on my level yet, but... I'm not at the level I need to be at yet in terms of my flow. Once my flow is fully realized in its complete form, I think you're going to see this Nashville SC team start to play a lot better.
Who else has crazy hair?
Will's got the flow.
That's true.
He's just got a sort of an interesting look all around. We looked up a picture of him from his youth days at the Red Bulls, and he sort of had the look of like Beans from Even Stevens.
Yeah, he did.
Which was pretty funny. Maybe you should bring back that. Maybe Will cuts his hair into more of a kind of a bowl cut. I don't know. It's time to...
Bowl cuts are coming in.
Yeah.
I think they're making a comeback.
It's time to try some new things, maybe tactically, also in the hair department.
Yeah.
Just asking questions. What can we change? I don't know.
Questions.
This game in the rain was kind of physical. I thought we were really lucky to get away with the draw. Going into this week, I thought we'd lose to Orlando midweek, and I thought we'd beat Miami because I think we're better than them still. After this game tonight, I think we're better than them still. But how do you feel in taking two draws from the two matches this week? Good enough?
Yeah. I think both games we probably didn't deserve a point in either one. So I feel like now good that we did. Had going into the week, you probably would have wanted at least 3 to 4 points, I think. But now seeing us play, I take the 2 points.
So we've got one more game in this sort of Southeast division that we're playing in right now in phase one of MLS's post MLS's back tournament restart. I'm excited to see this team play against some new teams because, like, we're starting to kind of get into an established pattern of, like, here's kind of what the Orlando games are looking like. Or I'm just ready to see us play some new faces. Like, we've seen us play Miami twice now, Orlando twice.
Dallas.
Atlanta twice, Dallas twice.
I mean, do they have anything planned outside after these?
No, we don't. So this game that we have against Atlanta Saturday is the last one that's scheduled currently, and that wraps up phase one of the post-tournament MLS restart. So
I think they would like come up with, they would have like announced something.
It seems like
it's a week away.
It's way past time that we get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I was going to think maybe it coincides with like an international break and they have to take a couple weeks.
International
anyways.
Breaks right now.
Right. So, but I don't know if maybe some CONCACAF qualifiers are coming up at a little bit of a different time.
I don't know. I mean, it's almost at this point that you almost restart the season.
Yeah. I guess
MLS starts in spring instead of...
I don't even know who started when or what. Or
the MLS does start in spring.
This year is just so different with sports, obviously.
Right. I don't know. It'd be interesting. Hopefully they announce something soon. I mean, we have one more game and then...
Yeah, ready to see what the schedule looks like outside of the Southeast.
I mean, it's going to be hard with everything still going on, but I do hope we get a different amount of some teams.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who. I think like the Red Bulls and like the New Yorks would be cool.
Yeah, we should play teams like in the northern. Eastern half of the country. Any of those games we need to knock out,
that's
go
true.
Ahead and
I
get
guess
them
we're
done.
East, though. Yeah.
So maybe we'll run into Columbus, who I think are are top of the Eastern Conference right now.
Oh, that'd be a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
Zardes.
Yeah. Excited to see that. Zardes keeps banging in the goals. Seems like he might be the striker right now for the U.S. men's national team.
Nope.
Well, other than Sargent, who's not playing a ton, who's the guy? Altidore?
For me, yeah, right now I think Altidore. I think Sargent's a weird one because, he wasn't getting a lot of playing time, but he was still decent with his playing time.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell, even with the, lack of playing time, he still might be better than Zardes.
It's a philosophical question of, do you take sort of the young talent that's kind of breaking through at a higher level, which he's playing in the Bundesliga, which is a higher level than MLS, or do you take the guy that's consistently banging in goals in MLS like Zardes, or the guy that is always consistently putting in at least okay performances for the U.S. in Altidore? It's a tough spot right now. We were talking during the game, it'd be nice if there was a guy in between right now in the 26 to 27 range that was more established and was someone we could rely on right now.
Like, ideally that would have been Zardes.
Yeah. I think it is. It might be Zardes now. Zardes,
but,
I'd be fine with, I'd start him.
Yeah.
Right now.
And I think, and luckily US didn't have any international games, so we don't have to worry about it. They don't have anything till June of next year.
Really?
So I think we'll have
we should probably talk about it less then. I keep thinking that we have qualifiers coming up.
So we,
the Octagon, I was excited for us to get into the Octagon.
That's not until June of next year.
Oh shit.
And we maybe have some friendlies before then, but I don't know that we're playing that much. And I think maybe by then we'll have a better idea what Sargent is. Cause I was reading that, his coach basically is he's my starter this year. So you have a striker starting in Bundesliga, mostly.
Okay. So. Werder Bremen's is saying that about Sargent.
Yeah, he's basically that's my guy.
Nice
for striker. So.
Well, that's definitely encouraging. I mean, if he's starting every week in the Bundesliga, he's probably your guy.
The issue that sucks for this is just Werder Bremen's not good. So even even the games that you watch with Jeff Sargent, he would be fine. It's just no one can get him the ball.
Yeah.
It'd be nicer if he was on a better team that you could,
but
maybe
then he
see.
Might not get the minutes. I mean, it's just tough. Yeah. I see what you're saying. But.
Yeah. It was kind of the same thing with Shaka with McKinney. I was watching him. It was he was basically trying to do everything himself and just wasn't we'll see.
I'm actually sort of okay with the two draws this week. I thought we'd maybe get a win against Miami, and I definitely didn't think we'd get a point against Orlando. So I don't know. Not ideal, but I'm sort of okay with it. No really super dispiriting results moving out of sort of wrapping up our Southeastern divisional games as I'm thinking of them. I think that you can chalk down as a little bit of a moral victory.
Sorry. Leah text tweet. You can cut this, but Leah replied to the video tweet. Said it looked like I was doing the WAP, which is what Carly also texted me.
Nice.
Was like, I thought you were going to do the WAP. I should have done the WAP.
What is the WAP? Is the WAP a dance now?
The WAP dance, yeah. Do you know what the song WAP
Well, there
is?
Was the WAP, the WAP. WAP.
No.
WAP.
Do you know
but
the,
then now there's the WAP.
WAP, yeah.
The WAP.
WAP, yeah.
Yes.
There's a WAP challenge now.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with the challenge.
Yeah. It's basically kind of what I just did.
Okay.
Well. I'll show it to you later.
You've always got the WAP in my book.
Yeah. Thanks, man. What was your question?
I don't know. I guess I would ask you if you were happy with the two points from the available six.
I am. I mean, I think I'm just so I don't know if we're ever going to score more than one goal a game.
Yeah.
At this point, if we get one point, I'm good. And I don't this game just, the subs annoy me.
Yeah.
I told you at one point, I think for five, because of Gary's just subbing on players that shouldn't be on an MLS roster, in my opinion, specifically one person. At one point I was rooting for Miami just to score, just to I feel like we deserved it.
Yeah. We deserved to lose tonight for sure.
We that Gary deserved to be punished for his dumb mistakes.
I think I'm a little more sympathetic to Gary right now. I don't think he's making any glaring weird decisions other than David Akam not playing more, but I think that he is running out of different options.
It's not even that though. Like, again, if you're gonna play a USL winger, like, play Wynn in
that
spot.
He's sort of trying a lot of different things though. And I think that the realization that maybe they're coming to, or maybe we're coming to, is that the answer might not be on this roster, the piece that sort of connects all the dots in the final third and either creates better chances or does a better job of putting away chances.
Which, and we both, I think, agree that the striker answer is not on the roster, but that doesn't mean that you get to play Taylor Washington instead of David Akam. Or you get to play, I don't know, even Anuga over, or even Daniel Jones over Anuga, which I guess Anuga is also USL, so I can't complain about that. But I think Anuga showed a lot more in the 1.5 games he's played than Daniel Jones has.
Yeah, I wish we had like a more like a Mukhtar rotation option, but somebody who was a little bit more of a true center mid and not like as much of an attacking mid. I think that Anunga that we have seen now a little bit is just purely a rotation option for either Godoy or McCarty, a little bit more of a defensive midfielder that sits deeper. I wish there was a guy that was like more of like an 8, like a box to box guy, so that maybe Godoy could sit, McCarty could be box to box, and then that hype, that theoretical third player would let us play in a midfield 3. I don't think we really have anyone right now to
maybe
do
we
that.
Should have brought over Lebo instead of Washington.
Ooh. I would still love to see Lebo. I hope he's doing well at Tulsa.
Yeah.
I saw Bradley Bourgeois banging the drum after a Tulsa game this week and had a little bit of I don't know, I was kind of missing him.
Yeah.
Obviously a fan favorite from the USL days. Getting into the Atlanta game, probably a little bit ahead of the running order, but just wanting to maybe get away from these two games and think of the possibilities, what we could see, and trying to figure out a combination of players in attack that will finally connect the dots for us. I think the most dangerous we've looked going forward was actually when we had the Daniel Rios and Abu Dhanlati front two randomly in whichever game that was.
That was the Orlando game that we lost 3-1, I think.
Okay. But yeah,
that's probably,
I mean,
why we haven't done it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can't argue with the bad result, our worst result so far this season. But I stand by the statement that those two, like hitting Dhanlati on the break and then him trying to maybe create something for Rios, who's staying more central and crashing the box, it at least was like a formula. It wasn't really coming off. You could be like, all right, this is a way that we might consistently be able to make a chance and move the ball into the box. So
yeah, I think
I wouldn't mind seeing.
We both,
I don't know. I don't know what I want to see anymore. I if he can't figure it out, I can't figure it out.
No, I think our best starting 11 is probably what we have.
Yeah.
My only thing is I'm subbing on Akam probably at like the 70th minute. Like, I think using Akam as a super sub is using starting Mule and then having Akam as a super sub is when we're at our best.
We could have used an attacking option off the bench, and instead we saw Taylor Washington, who is what he is.
And Rios, which I think I'm cooling off on whether he can be an MLS player.
I'm cooling off a little bit too.
Which I like the guy.
Still small sample size.
Yeah, and
he's going
to
be here for...
It's hard to like tell who, if it's his fault or if it's like the talent around him's fault.
Well, there was a moment in midfield where he kind of had, he could have brought down a ball from the air and passed on to somebody else and kept the move going, and he just like misplaced a headed pass, and I called out during the game, like, Baji keeps the ball there, Baji shields it, moves on to somebody, keeps the play ticking over. That's the minimum. If you're not scoring goals, you got to at least be good in the hold up play. Baji is, I mean, you can't knock his, he continues to, you know, get a little frustrated with the guys who are giving him passes like more to his feet. He keeps asking for it in behind. I'm not upset to see Baji continue to play up top. If we're not going to see the same level of like all around play and pressing and hold up play from somebody like Rios, I think Rios still is probably a better finisher. I like the positions that he takes up in attack a little bit better, but he's not contributing anything outside of that. And then he hasn't contributed that in scoring goals.
There was the one towards the end where Godoy just ripped it and it went off Miami's keeper and it went straight to Rios and it hit him in the chest and then it went like 5 feet away from him.
If he could have brought it down, he would have had a clear
shot. Yeah. And if he controlled it a lot better, which I think MLS players probably control a lot. Like that's just something that like you look at that and you're just like, if it was MLS talent level, like they probably control that a little bit better.
Yeah. We're in a tough position up top. I mean, I guess you've got Baggi and Rios that are really the choices. Some people seem
they've been throwing
some
Don
fans
Lottie.
I've noticed like on Twitter they think that Don Lottie might be the answer. I don't know that Gary, I mean they could be right, but I don't know that Gary sees him as like a number nine, like a center forward.
I think Baggi's our best striker by far, and then as a pure finisher I think Rios, but again it's just we don't have anyone to get him the ball to where he can be a pure finisher. Like I don't think he's ever going to be in a situation, not ever, but like
he's not getting great service still.
Yeah.
We've said this a couple times now and for a couple weeks.
If you're not getting great service, like you can't use a guy like that. To where I think that,
but he's doing everything else he needs to do. Like he's really busting his ass up there.
Yeah. I think.
Any other thoughts from the two matches this week?
No, I mean, I think I'm just annoyed with Gary. I don't like his subs. I think the roster, like again, I think the back lines, I'm fine with the lineups that he's putting out, the starting lineups. I think just the bench and his sub work is where he needs to get better at.
Yeah, some kind of choices that seem strange, but it's one of those things we can't really know what he's seeing on the training ground. We can't really know why we're not seeing more of David Akam. But yeah, I mean, fair questions, some strange sub choices. I'm still happy with Gary overall. I'm happy with the results overall. I'm not to the point where I'm super unhappy with a draw right now because I don't think we have a ton of ability to turn a draw into 3 points because we can't score a lot of goals. So if you can't do that, at least take your point. So like I said, not upset with the two draws this week. Willing to give this team some more time to start to turn a draw into 3 points. 3 stars from the week. Who do you got?
I think Joe's probably an obvious one.
Joe Willis is my number one for sure.
So we'll agree on that one and then we'll pick two separate ones. So yeah. We'll do Joe as the number one. Number two, give me Lovitz.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
Well, quit taking mine.
No, you got it. You can have Lovitz. But I think that he is giving us more in midfield and in attack than Alistair Johnston is on the right.
I do think Alistair played really, really. He was my vote for outside of Joe. I did the like Twitter man of the match thing, and I voted Alistair, even though I think Joe was the man of the match.
Tonight?
I thought there's a lot. There's 2-3 noticeable times where he was challenged by Blaise.
Go ahead, give it a shot. Matuidi. There you go.
And I think like two of them, I noticed that he won both challenges.
Yeah.
Which I mean is kind of nuts when you think about a kid.
He's lean looking, but he puts his body about well.
But this is a kid that was like a late first round super draft pick, which
being asked to contribute a lot now.
One, I think it's kind of rare that super draft players tend to like play MLS right away anyways. And then two, not only be a late round first round, like if you are going to play, it's going to be top of the first round, but a late first round to basically he started the last five games. And I've had no complaints on our right back spot.
Yeah, I think that he had I think we had a couple of attacking moves that sort of ended with him out isolated on the right. And if I'm Orlando, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't yet have the cross. I don't think he's yet put together like that final piece. But in every other aspect of the game, defensively, Yeah. He's done everything you could ask for from a guy that was like, you know, a late first round MLS super draft that pick being asked to be a starter right now. Yeah, probably. Yeah. So like no complaints and, about him for sure. But and again, that's still an area we could strengthen.
Let me clarify. I mean, defensively, he's been really good.
He has been good.
Offensively, like I've just noticed all his crosses don't have any air under them. They're all just basically head level and.
I think that really good. The I think that, he can develop that. Give him 2-3 years. You know?
And he's
certainly got the potential to be a piece for us.
Yeah, hopefully he develops that. But I mean, right? I mean, he's a right back, so you, I think it's you want the defensive part first, and then he can grow into the offensive part.
Yeah, and he's still even just by stretching the play and just being like an overlap and just trying to push on a little bit when we're in possession, even if it's if what he's doing on the ball isn't great, just his. Just him stretching the play wide and being there,
I do like
has helped us
a lot
on
of times.
Right.
He tries to be like very technical on the ball.
That's not in his and locker right just, now. Yeah,
like he doesn't fool anyone,
and that's
like,
a part of coming into MLS probably because a lot of that shit probably came off at Wake Forest.
Like,
but
there was a couple again, times where fine. I saw him trying to like beat. He was like 1-on-1 with a defender, and he was trying to beat him 1-on-1, and it was just not happening.
Yeah, the play
like,
just sort of ended
it's
up
like,
there.
Know what you're good at, man. Just
so
like,
he'll figure that out. Yeah, we'll figure out that maybe he cuts it back a little quicker there. But yeah, so Joe Willis we've got as one of our three stars of the week. You offered Dane Lovitz, which I'm okay with. I guess I'd go ahead and throw, you know, after the goal midweek, I would have liked to have said Randall Leal finally breaking his duck, getting a goal. Nice to see a goal from the run of play. So you could also throw in Hani Mukhtar in helping to create the goal with the assist. Mukhtar continues to put in good balls off of set pieces, so I'd consider one of those two, but I'd still probably go with the old standby of Anibal Godoy.
Oh, God damn it.
What? Well, if we agree, that's okay.
No, I do.
we like to embrace debate.
No, I do. I do think Godoy's been good, but I just knew you were going to pick Godoy because I feel like you have a hard-on for Godoy.
I mean, until he lets us down, I am not.
I think maybe it was a midweek game. I didn't think he was that great. The Orlando game.
Yeah.
I remember him not. I thought he was fine this game. This game, he was great.
Well,
myself,
he got beat in midfield for that Benji Michel wonder goal, but it was a wonder goal. Like,
right. But I think outside of that, he also was not very good the Orlando game.
All right. Well,
so I'll disagree. I would give it to Leal.
I would have been okay with that, except tonight I thought he was made to be a little quiet, and he.
I mean, our whole offense was
one
quiet.
Of the first subs. True, true, but he's a part of it.
All right, embrace debate.
Embrace debate. I guess we can jump ahead to the Atlanta United preview since we started talking about it a little bit.
Yeah,
we play Atlanta on Saturday.
In Nashville. So it'll probably be rain delay.
Okay, for sure rain delay. Go ahead and mark that down. But nice for the team, like we mentioned before, to get a little bit of a rest and a full week of preparation. What do you want to see from the lineup, and what do you want to see improve?
It sucks because
we're running out of different things
like,
to try.
I don't know. Like, yeah. I think what our lineup that we have is the best that we can.
I know.
With what we can do.
I know.
Again, I would maybe start David Akam.
Yeah,
I'm going to hammer it, but like,
oh, you're
that's
right.
The only spot that I see like we can improve on. Like, I think everywhere on the back line, we have our best player playing. Midfield, we have the best midfield.
Back four, midfield two, fine.
I think,
I'm fine with all
I
of
think
it. Leal
and Mukhtar are two of the best four forwards.
So then that just leaves the other two spots in the front four, the striker and someone else.
Yeah.
So, we keep changing those out and still not finding really the sauce, whatever's going to put it together.
So if we do change anything, I would wonder if it'd be more of from a like formation standpoint rather than like a personnel standpoint.
I think we really should be,
I guess both, you do both, but
trying to get a positive result and maybe a win against Atlanta. So I wouldn't mind seeing like maybe a little curveball like the Rios Donlati front two again because I thought they were dangerous when we saw them together.
And I don't think we really looked that bad against Atlanta last time we played. I think Pity just had two really good goals. Speaking of which, I don't know if you want to touch on both.
We will.
Yeah,
getting into the news now. Pity Martinez from Atlanta United tore us up. But now he's leaving. He's going to the Saudi Arabian League with, I guess, reports that Ezekiel Barco might also be on his way out in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think Barco's rumored to go back to Spain.
Did he come from Spain?
Maybe.
I didn't think he did.
Well, I made all that up.
Anyways.
But yeah, Pitty's going to Saudi Arabia, which I'm not a huge, like...
he fucked us up.
I'm not too familiar with the Saudi Arabia league, but it just seems like a weird league to go to. Like,
I think he's going to cash out in the Saudi Arabian league, which good for him, I guess.
Yeah, that feels like, haven't ever watched a game there.
I'm always watching Saudi Arabia.
I feel like MLS might be
games.
A better league.
I don't know.
Like, I have no idea. Yeah.
It's probably a similar, I'm sure MLS is a stronger league, but
I think he'll
be on that same type of like DP paycheck. He's probably getting a pay increase.
Yeah, Sevilla.
With the move, so
Sevilla is
really
going in.
Barco to Sevilla. Yeah. Sevilla continue to win the Europa League like every other year. So
yeah, great.
Maybe
city.
We see Barco raising a trophy in Europe at some point soon.
Not to brag, really, really pretty city.
Donald says it's a good city.
Yeah,
I still haven't been to Spain.
Yeah,
I really want to go.
Not to brag.
Not to brag.
I was there.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
Other news items. The club announced this week that Nashville area residents can now stream our locally broadcast matches live on the website. So
yeah,
that was sort of an issue for a lot of fans that the club has kind of resolved.
Yeah, we went like a whole 180 on this whole situation. Mm-hmm. Went from like buy an antenna that was made in like 1993.
Hey, I love my HD antenna.
To now you don't even need cable or any like YouTube TV or streaming service. You can just watch it on our website.
I think the club either are listening to the fans and or they are figuring out themselves some of the issues that they need to solve, like with kind of the broadcast stuff that they've fixed. I think it's a positive sign that the club is trying to make this weird inaugural season for Nashville as good as they can.
Yeah, I think when the product that we have on the field, you kind of have to make up for it in other ways.
Also wanted to just go ahead and plug. You want to do some plugs for the Amazon Corporation who, you know, they're really hurting right now. So I really want to support a small business.
Oh.
No, it's not. But the All or Nothing Amazon documentary on Tottenham's last season, I was fanboying so hard. I've watched the three episodes that were released last week. I've watched them all twice now. I mean, just like goosebumps the whole time. It's like the coolest.
I mean,
it's the first piece of media that I feel like was made like just specifically for me.
And
it's a little bit of a fluff piece, a little bit of a propaganda for the club. They come across very well in like a positive light. Nothing crazy. Even with like the Pochettino firing, which gets covered in the first episode, they handle it very carefully, very well. But it's fun, dude. It's fun to watch. It's fun to see Mourinho at work. I like him more now than I did before. I'm sorry.
I brought this up in our like soccer group chat on Twitter that we have. Like,
shout out to Soccer Boys DM.
Yeah, like months.
Airman,
like probably
Jared,
like
Jared. What up?
Probably like, I think it was pre-COVID when I was like, Josh is definitely drinking the Kool-Aid on Mourinho.
I wasn't.
And you're just like, no, I'm taking like some sips.
I'm taking some sips, yeah.
And then now you're just like full on like chugging. Like you're just like funneling the Kool-Aid.
It's delicious, man. Now
you're mainlining the
It's cool
Kool-Aid.
To see like an elite level coach with like his interactions with like Harry Kane are super interesting.
Is Pochettino.
You'll
not
enjoy it when you watch it. They don't really show a lot of Pochettino. It really becomes the Jose Mourinho show very quickly.
I mean, that's
which, of course.
Yeah, it's Jose Mourinho, so like
I've never understood his appeal. I found him sort of unlikable, but
he's unlikable when he's not your coach,
I guess.
I know a lot of Chelsea fans still like him. Like they still think he's like their best coach that we've ever had.
I still don't think he's Tottenham's manager like for the next 4 or 5 years, but I'm happy with him now.
I'm still shocked he went to Tottenham.
And he's definitely, you can see why he's successful. Like he
gets you to drink the fucking Kool-Aid,
elite,
man.
And I guess, yeah, I mean, but in his conversations with the players, like, he's just very straightforward and like...
He's a player's coach?
Yeah, watch it. Yeah, I think so. Watch it. And we've seen that in his career. Even like when it seems like, geez, who would want to play for this grump, this guy? Players are like, no, trust us. Like, we've all got his back. He's got our back.
I don't think, was it Costa wanted to play for him?
Well, there's a couple guys that end up finding themselves on the outs in his regime for sure. But what you get from watching the show, and we can move away from this after this, but what you get from watching the show is that, like, he's very fair. He's very direct with the players. And he even says, like, if I'm ever unhappy with you or if I ever want you out of the club, like, you don't need to worry about it or think about it because I'm going to tell you. You're going to know from me.
He's a very, like, he has a personality that people, like, gravitate to.
Yeah.
And
I think most players are, like, cool. They're cool with that. Like, all right. Yeah. That's all they want, you know? They just want to know where they stand.
Till he sells your youth.
Yeah, that's going to be upsetting when he sells Tanguy and Ndombele, goes to Barcelona, and he turns that team around. Yeah, and
I'm pretty sure, and this was, like, a little bit before I started, like, paying super attention to Chelsea, but I'm pretty sure that he's the one that sold, like, Mo Salah and De Bruyne and Lukaku.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that doesn't happen to us.
So three very big names that no longer are with us because of him.
Premier League starting very soon.
But luckily Tottenham doesn't ever have players like that.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun year in the Premier League.
1 week until, which we talk about this a lot, is like waking up super early on Sundays or Saturdays.
Make a ginormous pot of coffee. Chug that until your stomach hurts for the rest of the morning.
And then watch Premier League soccer, and then you get a little bit of a nap in, and then you get like college football or NFL football.
Watch some Conference USA football.
Let's not get started on that one.
Okay, well, let's give some predictions for the Atlanta United game on Saturday, and then that will take us to listener cues, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Atlanta United, I think we get a 2-1 win.
I'm going 2-1 Atlanta win.
Okay.
I have no faith in us scoring more than one goal.
The last time we went to Atlanta, I predicted that we'd have an offensive breakthrough, and we did not. But it's happening this time.
Is it? I don't have faith in us scoring more than one goal. And Atlanta scored two the last two times we played them. So
I think their morale has to be a little down.
I mean, they're losing players.
It seems like a bad environment down there. Like, good time to steal a result that maybe, like, we wouldn't get normally against a team with pretty strong track record.
Is this because of, like, Josef Martínez?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, was he just, like, the glue that held everything together? And then, like, once you lose him, you're just like, get rid of Pity, get rid of Barco. Like, let's tear this down and build back up.
Yeah, I think more so than him, they've just made some roster moves that seem to have not worked out. They lose Nagby, who I don't think was doing a ton for them, but like,
I still think Nagby was really good for them.
They also lost Julian Gressel, who has been one of the best players in MLS for the last couple years that he's been in the league. And then obviously losing Almiron, he was next level.
So I guess they're
there to be had. I think let's go get a result down there and then move on with whatever this next phase of MLS restarting is.
You're 2-1 Nashville, I'm 2-1 Atlanta.
All right. Listener cues.
Are we jumping to that?
You want to take a break?
Nothing else? No.
Let's do it.
Let me get them up.
Time to kick back, enjoy the soothing baritone of Donald in Donald's Question Corner. Let's go.
You're just going to, it's Carlos' Question Corner, Andy's Question Corner, now it's mine. It's not my questions.
You own the Question Club, and then the four corners of the Question Club. Corners. It's Carly, Andy, Nashville, and Davey. Let's hear their cues.
Speaking of Davey, if Mo Salah was on this team, would he get minutes over USL players?
I mean, left-footed, dynamic attacking option, I'm going Taylor Washington every time over whoever this Mo Salah guy is.
No, Gary will still play USL players over Mo Salah.
How many good performances for Bethlehem Steel has Mo Salah had?
True.
I haven't seen any. None. I saw nothing from him in USL. So,
many people are saying goals are not actually that important. Thoughts? That's from Daniel Ryan, Nashville.
Truly, by the way, little sneak preview, maybe sliding into the stew, maybe coming on the pod Saturday after Atlanta. Fingers crossed, we get Truly in the mix. But what was the question again?
Many people are saying goals are not actually that important. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. No, what it's all about is nil-nil draws. Yeah. That's what really gets me going. That's what soccer is all about.
I agree, and I think Gary also agrees that goals are not that important, and sitting back and defending is. Amazing. This is from Ryan McClarty, a new follower.
What up, Ryan?
We didn't get his question last week because Josh didn't answer it.
I followed up and answered it on Twitter, I think.
Okay. Well, yes, one this week. Amazing creativity on a lot of set pieces. What, if any, changes need to be made so we can actually get goals out of them? Meaning, are we doing too much with them?
I'm happy. No, I'm happy to see some of the routines. I think the deliveries from Mukhtar have been really good. And even when he's not played great in open play, he puts in a nice ball off set pieces, which, you know, somebody's got to do it.
I think his set pieces are really good from, like, not the, his corners are fine, but I think, like, his set pieces, which I think we scored that first, like, Walker Zimmerman goal was a set piece from Hani Mukhtar out there.
It was.
And then you kind of saw it on, like, the design plays. It was getting a different angle on his set pieces, which I think he does better at than the corner. So I think I would keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, keep doing what we're doing, too. I'm happy with it.
Can't do it too much, I think.
We've already scored 2 goals off of set pieces, almost 50% of our total goals. Yeah. So, you know, not going to be unhappy with that return. At the end of the day, I think if we continue to run some of these plays, and something's going to come off.
Yeah. Nastro has a second question. Low key, is Joe Willis our best player?
Yeah, maybe our most important player so far this season, especially if we're going to have low scoring games. Your keeper has got to not let anything slip, and Joe Willis has been super consistent. I didn't know anything about him before he joined the team and played for Nashville, but just another really intelligent acquisition in what I think is, despite not, you know, us not lighting the world up yet, I think has still been an intelligently constructed squad that are playing well, and he has been really, really solid. He's been really good. Maybe our player of the season so far. Yeah. Not, I need to quit calling people player of the season so far. We're very early on in the season, but I'm super happy with Joe Willis for sure.
Typical Josh fashion, answering a yes or no question with a meandering.
Well, that makes for a great monologue. Pod if we sit here and go yes or no, in the answer to these questions.
I will go short, and I think no, he's been really good. He's been really solid. He's been one of the top three, but I would still put one of the two center backs, probably Romney, Lovitz, or Godoy, or McCarty. Is one of those four is probably our best players.
Okay.
Or just that combination of that whole
defense or,
to mid has been really good.
Well, he's a part of that.
Yeah, that's fair. I still, John Habernreich.
What up, John?
I probably mispronounced that. Also new follower. Shout out, John. WTF is going on with the comm.
Man, if you figure it out, let us know.
Yeah. Allegedly. Never mind.
We're hearing reports that he is a kind and generous lover to Gary Smith's daughter. We're hearing many people are saying.
Many people, as in no people. Please do not.
We're going to lose our press pass, man.
That's true.
We're going to lose all our access.
Yeah, whatever.
That's what we're here for.
Andy wants to know your thoughts on the recent formation change. I don't think we've had much
I've not noticed
formation.
A formation change.
We've had Mule being in there.
Yeah, he's made the team look a little different.
Outside of that, how would you rate this match as far as discipline is concerned?
I mean, we should have lost, so
yeah.
We're lucky to get the draw. So we've been a disciplined and well-organized team, and we've had a strong defense. This game is not a shining example of that. This game tonight, this draw against Miami, we were very lucky to escape with a point. We were pretty thoroughly outplayed for most of the game, in my opinion.
Hani had some shots early on, but nothing on target. Is he expecting different type of support, or is this his game?
Yeah, he seemed like he ended up with the ball in the final third, especially in the second half tonight, I noticed, and there was nobody really running in behind, no options for him, and so he'd maybe take a pot shot or he'd try something weird that just wouldn't come off.
the highlights I saw from like him playing in Sweden, that seems to be a little bit of his game. Both him and Liao are like just wonder goals from like 20 yards out.
Yeah. And that's not a reliable route to goal.
No.
You can't count on that week in,
week
out. It
looks sweet, though.
It looks sweet when it comes off, so.
Andy, I don't think, listens to the pod because he's asking questions that we've already talked about. He says, who is...
He's listened because he appreciated my ad reads, which I need to get back into soliciting from...
So this is a misspelling, but it's funny, so I'm going to say it. He says, who is this Callus from Metfica?
Who is this Callus from Metfica?
Yeah, but he meant Jandre Cadiz.
Yeah, we talked about the potential signing of Jandre Cadiz from Benfica.
He scored against PSG. That's all you need to know.
Yep.
Best striker on
the
team.
He's the answer. He's probably the best striker
in the
world.
It's also currently 69 degrees in Nashville.
Nice.
Last question. I'll go back to Twitter questions. I want to do this one last because it was a little bit fun. Joe Slack, shout out Joe.
Joe's back.
What would be the official beer sponsor for Paradise Pod?
Mm.
What would you be your beer sponsor?
I think you know, the crew, the Paradise Pod cinematic universe has expanded now. We're about to get Trilly in the mix, hopefully, on Saturday. We've had Seth, we've had Andy, and we've had Big Dick Javi, but we should probably offer up what the OGs, you and me, would be as the two beers of Paradise Pod. So I think that I am maybe a little more lively, maybe something a little bit,
I think he meant actual
more out of
beer
the ordinary
sponsor.
So I think that I would maybe be like a maybe like an Amstel Light, you know, something a little unexpected, but still, you know, I'm still goes down smooth. Still a something that you're excited to see. And then I think you're like a weird sort of sour. You'd be like a weird sour something. I don't know. A little something different, you know?
Yeah. I will go just... I took this a different route.
Oh, okay. Please.
I just was thinking of beers that I think represent us, and I think for both of us, we grew up going to USL Nashville games, drinking the Mobes.
Dude, that's right. I am really missing, Von Elrod pregames before going to First Tennessee Park and watching Daniel Rios score hat tricks and Levo Maloto pulling the strings.
So we get the large Stein at Von Elrod's of the Tiny Bomb, which
ginormous Stein, of Wiseacre, awesome Memphis brewery. Their beer, Tiny Bomb, their Pilsner was fucking phenomenal. Which
Josh referred to as the mother of all bombs.
It's the mother of all bombs when you get it in the Big Stein at Von Elrod's. It's the Moab. And I pound a couple of those. Honestly, that whole second season in USL was a little blurry for me because I was pounding Moabs before the games.
Yeah, we were both pre-gaming.
Pre-gaming Hoored.
Von Elrod's. It was nice. So that was...
Miss it.
That was what I thought. If we could have a beer sponsor...
You're right. It should be Tiny Bomb.
Yeah. Not whatever the fuck you said.
Specifically, you're right. That's why I keep you around. Yeah, the Tiny Bomb in the Stein, where it becomes the mother of all
bombs.
That's
probably where you thought of doing this pod, was like those type of conversations of us discussing at Von Elrod's.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we'll get back there.
That was my pick.
Yeah.
That's all for questions.
All right. Anything else we need to hit before we close it out? It's been about an hour 10, so it's been a good one.
I think... I don't have anything. My butt looked really good in that video you sent.
Yeah, man. Always looks good.
So I appreciate that.
No
problem.
And I
got nothing else. Excited for next week. Hopefully we'll have Nashville on.
Yes. Hopefully we'll see more of Donald's cat eyes and thick thighs. And, hopefully we will see the same from Trilly next week. If we get him in the mix, if not, you'll at least have me and Don. We'll be here for you. We'll be here with you, always with you. And you're always in our thoughts. And keep us in your thoughts and prayers as we all continue our quest for goals for Nashville FC. Let's wrap it up, eh?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We'll see you guys next week. Cheers. Bye.
Yeah, I think we'd like to start with our hit. You might remember it, that we hope you do. We hope you enjoy it and hope it brings back some memories for you folks, okay?
We'd all like to dedicate this song and our entire set to Mr. Irving Steinblum.
And...
Whenever I'm out a-wandering, chasing a rainbow dream, I often stop and think about a place I've never seen,
where friendly folks can gather and raise the rafters high
with songs and tales of yesteryear until they say goodbye.
Well, there's a
puppy in the parlor and a skillet on the stove and a smelly old blanket and a Navajo wool. There's chicken on the table, but you gotta say grace. There's always something cooking at old Joe's place.
Now folks come by around evening time as soon as the sun goes down. Some drop in from right next door and some from out of town.
Pick it.
Well, there's a
puppy in the parlor and a skillet on the stove and a smelly old blanket that a Navajo wove. There's popcorn in the popper and a porter in the pot. There's pie in the pantry and the coffee's always hot. There's chicken on the table, but you gotta say grace. There's always something cooking at old Joe's place.
They don't allow no frowns inside, leave them by the door. There's apple brandy by the keg
and sawdust on the floor.
So if you've got hankering, I'll tell you where to go.
Just look for the busted neon sign that flashes
E-A-O's.
Well, there's a
puppy in the parlor and a skillet on the stove and a smelly old blanket that a Navajo wove. There's popcorn in the popper and a porker in the pot. There's a pie in the pantry and the coffee's always hot. There's sausage in the morning and a party every night. There's a nurse on duty if you don't feel right. There's chicken on the table, but you gotta say grace.
There's always something cooking
at old Joe's place.